locked in to the three wise monkeys.
This will be a little bit crazy, but I plucked the nose here today, and it was a grey hair. It was a grey hair.
How do you get grey hair in your nose?
Oh, brother, I don't know. And at that point, I thought, you know what? I need to sit down because I might throw my back out and my ACL. That's when I found, I felt my age. I thought, I'm getting old now. Have you not found that? You boys are a grey hair, grey nose hair. Right? It's not about grey hair, grey nose hair. Have you not? Because I've been now thinking about being 30 plus, and you start thinking and contemplating, like, I probably lost my bottle a little bit when you're doing stuff. I don't know if you felt that or not. You start thinking a little bit more. You're probably a little bit more compassionate. Things just turn as you get older. I don't know if you boys have found that or not.
Is that age or is that marriage?
It's not marriage. No, it's not marriage. I think it's just general wisdom, I think. I don't know if you felt that.
So you say you'd lost your bottle before you got married?
When I lose, you lose your bottle. So when you're playing football, right, for example, you don't go in for those tackles you used to do when you're about 21, 22, when you think you're invincible.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's more around... you've probably had a lot of injuries. All of a sudden, you can't afford an injury because work comes in. So you're not going in as hard. I don't go in hard anymore since I've broken my foot. I can't.
Several times.
Yeah. You just can't afford to. I can't be off work for 3-4 months. But the grey hair in your nose.
Grey nose.
I mean, I'm not plucking my nose yet. My nose hairs ain't that long yet. So
There's those ones that agitate you, isn't it? And I thought, you know, I need to pluck the boy out.
Nah.
That's what it was.
I've never done that. 30 years old brings... I think I do agree. I do feel older. I do feel as though my body's almost aged.
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
In the last 12 months, I feel like I've gone from 29 to 30, and I've hit 30, and I've just, like, gained a year's worth of injuries and ailments and whatever. Is that the right word?
Yeah. You feel like you get up and you're a bit stiff.
100%.
30's not even anything, really.
No, that's terrible.
It's a third away for your life. It's nothing.
Well, I'd love to live up to 90. If that's your plan, then yeah.
No, I want to be 70, and at that point, you start finishing me off and just...
70?
Yeah,
when you're around 65, you're still thinking, I want another 20 years.
70, you're probably still working.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I ain't working at 70.
I'm not working at 70. I'm thinking about 50, I don't want to be working.
Why?
But that's not the way, is it?
50 years old.
I don't know, man. I don't know. What are you feeling like with 30?
Yeah, I've definitely seen changes. But yeah, I wouldn't say there's... huge what you're saying. I mean, I've started getting grey hairs, like, obviously on top of my head, which I had noticed before 30.
I've got grey hairs, yeah, noticed it before 30 though.
Mine start coming at 29. what I wanted to talk to you boys about, and I thought about this the other day actually, was where we all do a 9-to-5, and we went through the common system of getting to that 9-to-5, which is the normal school, college / university, getting into your 9-to-5 and thinking, now I'm into my career or whatever it is. But then you've got more than ever entrepreneurs, you know, media outlets where you work the 24/7 instead of the 9-to-5, right?
Yeah.
Do you think in school they should have taught you to take a few more risks and shown you that, you know what, you'll probably be okay if you don't go through this normal common path? So, like, look, I mean, we're on the cusp of, like, KSI versus Logan Paul, right? A boxing match. These are two YouTubers.
Second fight.
These are YouTubers who are making it without probably their education. They might do a little bit of media training or whatever, but they're now doing a 24/7 instead of a 9-to-5. You think through school they should have taught you to what the other paths are?
I think it's difficult because there's so our kids, our generation of kids will be, I don't know what the statistic is, but I was reading it the other day, our generation of kids will be doing jobs that aren't even invented yet. Jobs aren't even out there. The jobs aren't around, and they'll be in those jobs.
Mm.
So actually, for a teacher to teach you a different avenue, all of a sudden becomes difficult if the avenue's not been created yet. That makes sense.
The blueprint is almost, the foundation is almost there with this YouTube, media, entrepreneur, like, you know, the level where people are just doing kind of whatever they want and they're able to generate a wealth and an income and a career out of something that's not, you know, studying history And once you say, you know what, you've got a C and you're good enough to pass that particular subject, you know, you're good enough to go on to the next stage of your life, which I think is incorrect anyway. I think if you're able to, if you study things that are really going to help you out in your career, I think they should tell you to, you know, there's different things you can do apart from a 9-to-5.
Because it all depends on what you actually want to do, because you won't need to be an entrepreneur, potentially, or to do what these two guys have done. You're not necessarily going to need maths, English and science if you're going to do it in the back of...
Exactly.
So, but like I say, you're not going to know until that comes around, if that makes sense.
Maybe...
Well, you know, when look, back to the point, when we was in doing our GCSEs, YouTube was probably just a thing. You know, maybe it was, I'm not sure if it was even firing around back then. If it was, it's probably just in the cusp of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge thing. And you know, when we were at school, we probably weren't realizing that was the kind of the future we were going towards would take off in that kind of way. Because we left school early 2000s, mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was just before, you know, Facebook became a thing, YouTube became a thing, first iPhone came out. It all happened within a few years after we left school, and that kind of just gave a whole new career span. App developers, you know, these people like PewDiePie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just gone on a whole new level. You can, you know, these people, you got people making money off Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook.
Do you think those teachers, so the generation that is growing older now, do you think they'll become the teachers to tell you how to go down this different path? Or do you think it's going to be linear? You know, maths, English, science, go out and do your thing.
I think that's always, you're going to have the core skills always, regardless. Maths, English, science, IT will become the new core skills if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
Because you need that within your life now as a basic. You need to access computers and emails to get on in life. So that might be part of the new maths, English, and science if it hasn't already. I'm not close enough to understand what the curriculum is now, but. I think that'll always be around because you need those core skills. You need those basics. You need to understand that.
Mm.
The rest of it comes afterwards. That's actually what's your niche going to be, what's your interest. And on the back of that, you'll then become or tap into an area of your expertise or field that you want to go into. Because if you think about the founders of Facebook, the creators of Snapchat, whatever, their age is probably... Are they older than us on our age point?
I think they're in and around a couple of years.
Right. So my point is they're in our age education bracket.
Mm.
They would have gone through a similar basic journey as us, where they've tapped into a market, or their thinking was outside of the box to then go into that field.
I think it's triggering that creative process, because a lot of these guys do it from taking early risks and probably investing in themselves more than anything. All these guys, and Microsoft, all these guys, they've just invested in themselves. I think it'd be good to be taught that. Like, for example, I wouldn't mind there being a lesson on money management. Imagine if you were told about mortgages, interest rates, stamp duty, all that sort of stuff from like year 9 to year 11. You'd be so much more clued up. Because at this point, you're like almost figuring it out, or speaking to your parents or elders or whatever.
That should probably be linked into like social studies or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's not a subject within itself, and it's not going to get you onto a degree level or you know, A level sort of level, because it doesn't need to be. That's just further on. That's just basics of life almost. So you go out, you get a job, you buy a home, you manage bills. That's just almost adult life. So you're almost saying you need to be taught how to become an adult. I think there's skills within there that says this is how you apply for a mortgage and all that sort of stuff, or this is how bills work out, and this is money management. But it needs to go into some sort of like social skills bracket, or not even social skills, whatever it's going to be. I don't think it needs to be.
Mm.
Yeah, well, when we were in school, we had that one lesson, because it's like for secondary schools, but PSHE.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah. That was the most DOS lesson.
We were taught nothing in that.
That's what they probably should be taught.
They probably should have done it in that.
Yeah.
But we were taught, like, once every 2 weeks, that was for us. We were taught nothing.
Yeah, taught nothing. You go in and, yeah, I just talk to my friend for like half an hour, 45 minutes.
Let me ask you that then, just in school. Can you think of any kind of funny moments in your school? I think school was kind of the best period of my life, really, if you think about it. Because you're with your mates every day.
Yeah, I think I preferred primary school. I think that was the first kind of out of an Asian background home. We were not really allowed out, and your freedom was actually, I'm going to go and we're playing P PE, running around on the playground, having a good time.
Just pissing around with your mates.
Yeah, so I think I personally preferred primary to secondary. But secondary was a laugh as well, don't get me wrong.
Any good stories? Because we were in different secondaries, right? We met up in sixth form.
Yeah, but we met up, we were in the same secondary. Yeah, yeah.
So you must have something from back in those days. I heard stories from your school. That's that your school was a bit infamous back then.
I heard stories. I want to know what these stories are.
Yeah, I'd like to know, because I mean, maybe our year probably wasn't
as renowned for stories.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'd like, there's one story that there was two Asian kids caught having sex in a cabinet somewhere. You hear that?
No.
Hey?
Yeah, apparently so.
That's news to us.
It was horrendous. What I heard. And apparently they were dragged. So they were found, they were dragged, and the girl had like semen on her and stuff.
What?
I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. That was a story from your school.
That is called Chinese whispers. Two people were probably called kissing.
Maybe.
And now they're having sex and she's got sperm all over her. No,
that was a story.
That didn't happen.
That was the story.
Two things that stick out of my mind, like events that happened in our school, well, I can remember them, is when there's a girl who at lunchtime jumped over the fence, went to his shops, and as she's coming climbing back over those steel fences with the spikes at the top, her thumb got caught in it and came off.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah.
I remember it because her thumb came off and the teacher was running. We all saw this commotion. We were probably playing football or something.
Yeah.
And I saw the teacher running back to the location and then running past us with a bag which was, you know, translucent, and you could see the outline of a thumb.
Oh.
No lie. I actually saw that. No lie.
Yeah, that was grim. And the second thing I think of is this parent turned up at school and beat up a teacher.
Yeah.
No way.
But he beat up the wrong teacher. Because the teacher he actually beat up was covering the lesson for the teacher who's supposed to be up.
That's a bad day, that is.
Police turned up and everything. But yeah, I mean, those are probably the only two.
Did he find the right teacher?
I don't know. I think that was close. That was more associable to your form as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, because the teacher got beat up was my form tutor.
Nice. I remember there was a kid, Asian kid. He was kicked out of school. So he came back into school and he got a rock and he threw it through a window. And there was a maths teacher there at the time. And he threw it and he ran. But he threw it at a teacher that ran marathons for a living. So he just chased him. He constantly just chased him and chased him and chased him. And he got him. And they got the kid arrested. I remember that happened. I remember two geezers coming from, I think it was a different school, and they just beat up two teachers randomly. It was random. Random.
I don't think we had. Unless we were just oblivious to it, I don't know.
Yeah, because for us, like, we just wanted to play football.
That's true. That's
school time was good stuff. I remember having a potato fight. You remember, like, you used to do the osmosis and what sort of those lessons and that sort of thing?
No.
And science?
No, classes, mate. No,
yeah, couldn't afford potatoes.
Potatoes were the kids, mate. What are you about?
We were chucking potatoes. chucking potatoes about. I got done for that. Yeah, got into, like, trouble for that. But
I think the only pranks that I remember was, I think the year above us or 2 years above us, when they left, they planted fish or kippers around the school in the ventilation system behind the lockers.
Nice.
So, like, the next, like, 3, 4, 5 weeks, it was just continuous, like, pong. They couldn't find the fish. It was, that was the only sort of prank I remember that was being pulled in.
I remember someone let off a stink bomb. And the smell was horrendous, and they couldn't find the source of it. Because you have to find a source to kill it, don't you? And it was just the whole corridor just stunk. And it was just what a prank. I let off one once.
What, an actual fart?
No, I didn't just do that random. A stink bomb, I let one off once. I smashed it with my shoe, and obviously 50% of it is on my shoe.
I was going to say, this is the bit, right? Because I always think about a stink bomb, and you've got to stamp on it or break the...
I tried putting it under a chair, and the chair rolled off it.
Right.
And I thought, I've got to do this now, because all the kids are coming out of their class.
Yeah.
I've got to do it, and I smashed it with my shoe, and walked out, and I had like one shoe, and I got my shoe in my hand. and it just went horrendous. People were looking at me like, you stink, mate. You absolutely stink. That didn't go well.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I was such probably a good child that in primary school, I went to like a Catholic primary school, or they were heavily influenced by that religion. And we'd go to like Christmas events and like go to the church and sing and all that sort of jazz. You probably did that as well.
Oh, singing the wrong songs and that. I didn't know what I was doing.
But these two boys brought this stink bomb into the church, and they let it off at the front. Like, I was at the front, I could see what they were doing. And I'm thinking, this is really bad because they're going to associate this with me all of a sudden. So I'm not more concerned about the fact it's going to smell, because I didn't know what it was, but I'm thinking, is this glass bottle or veil, whatever you want to call it.
He's bought his luncheon again.
Yeah. That, that it's at the front of the, at the front of this, and I'm sat at the front, and I'm thinking, I'm shitting myself, thinking, I don't want to be associated with this. And at that point, I realised what a stink bomb is, because I didn't know what it was. And I was more concerned with the fact that there's going to be some broken glass, and that's going to be associated to me. So I realised what both was now. How you break one, they stamp on it and break it, and actually it fucking stinks.
It reeks.
They do absolutely stink.
And that fart spray, did you ever get that? Did you ever see that fart spray?
I saw it, I don't remember.
I've seen that, yeah. No,
so yeah, talking about school, did any of you, so we're all Asians for the audience, we are all Asians here, what was your lunch for school?
Primary school. For school dinners,
just sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Mum used to make sandwiches.
Yeah, and when she moved up to secondary school, is yeah, just either they gave you some money to get something from the
money, yeah, cafe. It was rubbish food though. Food was always terrible. You try and sneak out for some chips at like the local chippy den and fish bar or whatever, yeah. And then you go and have a school dinner, and it'd be like turkey twizzlers and beans and stuff.
Yeah,
no one ever promoted decent food. Turkey twizzlers. Beans, pack of refreshers.
Did you ever get the wrong packed lunch?
The wrong packed lunch? No, what are you talking about?
You never got the wrong packed lunch?
Like my old man's packed lunch? Yeah. That's happened before, yeah.
So what did you open up to?
It wasn't the wrong packed lunch. That was for me. That was for me. So yeah, I had full on roti. When are you full on? So the way she made it was, I had a packed lunch, right? And I had roti in one, and I had like the dal and stuff in another.
This
so
is carnage.
I had like a decent bag as well, a big bag.
Yeah, typical Indian bag.
Bigger than you, exactly. And I had
body.
It was two, like a sabji and a dal, and a roti, a couple of rotis. How much of it did I finish? Probably
none.
not
zero. It all went in the bin.
Yeah, I mean the hunger came from the bullying. To be honest, they were looking at me thinking,
"That's
you
that's,
were supposed to be all right."
That's mental. The fact that. You got given roti dal sabji is unreal.
Year 5.
Doesn't matter what year it is from.
Immortalise me.
Ah, oh, man.
That's carnage.
Because not only does that stink, I mean, that stuff. I don't like eating cold Indian food.
It stains, boy. It stains. Like, your mum was like, make sure you get it warmed up. Make sure you get it warmed up.
Yeah.
Because like, the school, you'd have obviously your dining area. And at the front, you'd have all of the women obviously serving food, people who are having hot dinners or whatever, and she'd go up there and ask them to put it in the microwave. So you did that.
You didn't do that.
No, I did that. I did that. I did that.
What?
100% I did that. And I sat there, eating it, steaming. It was too hot. So I'm having to sit there waiting for it to cool down. And it was hot. I'm telling you, it was hot. And people were looking at me thinking, what is that smell? Because obviously at that point, the astigmatism was like, or stigmatism even, is it just stinks. Because they probably live next to Indians or whatever. Like, it just stinks. He's one of them. He's one of them. When did you get over here?
That's all bad. That.
Yeah, terrible. And it stained as well, because I've got it in my shirt. That never came out.
I can't get my head around that. The bean pack lunch is rugby.
That is what it is, though, isn't it? School dinners. We used to always try and get out of school to have... Just to pre-get out of school. I'm out of school. And then what? Don't know. Nothing. Chippy.
That's the thing, you know what? Going on to the fact of going out of school, being allowed outside after school was an issue for me. As an Asian kid, it was never allowed.
Unless, I mean, because you live on the main road, didn't you?
Not even, yeah, so I live on the main road, and my only outing that was allowed was, here's a scooter. So I had a scooter, I had a bike, I had everything I ever wanted.
Yeah.
So there was never a case of, there's a shortage of anything. I just wasn't allowed out of like a certain vicinity. So I was allowed to ride my scooter, and I live on a main road, and you know where I live, so picture in your head, I've got a main road, and I've got a bus stop one end, and at the end of the road, it's just the end of a road, and it goes, you have to cross the road to go onto the other side. So I was given a scooter and a bike, as you was as a kid, and I was allowed out, and I was allowed to do geria, which is basically going up and down, on my scooter. So I went, this is no way of life, for hours. I went from one end of the road, of the same road, to the top end of the bus stop, turned around at the bus stop, and rode down to the bottom of the...
This is no more than 10 yards. Sorry, no more than 10 yards.
So I went up, this was my outing. I'm allowed out of the house, but I'm just allowed to do these up and down like sprints on my scooter. It's the most bizarre thing ever, and I enjoyed that. That was my
trial. On your own, just cracking on.
Yeah, just cracking on. The highlight was when the local two Portuguese boys,
right,
that lived two doors away, saw me doing it, and they're a little bit older than me, and they thought, oh, let's give this boy a race. And he brought out his bike, and I raced him.
this just sounds depressing.
This is the point.
They didn't want to be your friends. They just wanted to beat you, destroy you, and then go back.
No, I actually won the race because I was obviously
you were well practiced.
Yeah, well practiced. Absolutely.
You back of your hand.
If I should have a doubt. And then I realised I could actually cross the road, and I ended up going up to the bottom of the graveyard and back.
Oh, you went that far down, downhill? Far down.
Yeah,
downhill. But it wasn't fun coming back.
No,
up
the way up was long, but downhill was
nice. Hours of fun again, or was it just one trip and
no,
back up?
No, it was hours of fun. And then I discovered the local park further down.
Did you ever discover any friends? This sounds horrendous.
So, yeah, and then second...
Wait, how old are you?
This is no, old? Like, probably early...
20s.
Yeah. late primary, I'd say. Late primary. Early secondary. Oh, and then secondary school came, and then I was probably allowed to actually have friends. Go around houses and
how did you get to school? You
get
dropped off?
I get dropped off, yeah, every day. And then
you have to walk. You walk.
Got dropped off, and then, I mean, you woke up in school, obviously.
I was always late, though. I was always late.
So you lived like, you could, if you had a strong enough arm, you could throw
something
like
it, yeah.
A tennis ball.
How did you manage that late?
Because you think, you know what, I'm so close that I was, when I mean so close, I mean, I'd come out on my road, I'd walk probably 50 yards. Turn left, another 50 yards, and the school is right opposite, right? So,
And if you use that alleyway, it's even closer.
It's even closer, but I wasn't allowed to go down that alleyway. Who knows what's going to happen? So you'd have to go the long way around, which is like 5 minutes longer. But you'd time it, so you needed to be in school by 8:45.
And you'd wake up at 8:30.
Like, honestly, it would be like that, because the old man would be going to work, and it'd be me and my brother. So I'd time it, try and eat some food, which was non-existent, really.
I don't do that.
No. And I'd walk, get in, and I'd scrape it every day. I'd scrape it, just about in.
That's a mess.
It is a mess, but...
So is life.
So was life, yeah. It was good times.
So I think there is a bit around Asian families and growing up in Asian families that just... creates a different atmosphere. It's not normal.
You're not allowed to do a lot of stuff.
You aren't allowed to do a lot of things. And I think as you go on in life, those restrictions you think eases off, but they don't. And then you kind of conform. And as you get older, and you think, yeah, I'm becoming more of an adult. Now you're in secondary school, and you're getting older. You still got restrictions. You're still getting dropped off to school because they can't trust you to walk half an hour.
You grow up into your own parents. Because how much of this stuff are you going to do for your own kids? You're not allowed to go out at this sort of time. You're not allowed to do this, that,
I mean, you agree with some of it because it's almost not forced upon you, but you brought up that way so they become part of your values. But as you get older, it brings me on to my next topic, I guess, but as you get older in an Asian family, you are restricted onto many different things.
Big time. What couldn't you do?
Well, this is my point. I guess not as a kid, but as you become an adult, the concept of arranged marriage... versus
Wait,
marriage.
What are we doing? This is a black hole now. What are we doing here?
That is a topic you could discuss.
This is a two-hour topic.
It's a never-ending discussion, that one.
But what's your opinions on it? Arranged marriage versus love marriage. So the reality probably is, I don't know about you guys, but my parents were arranged marriage. And
Yeah, same.
And they were like the strongest of marriages. Seeing them ups and downs, and same as you boys are probably seeing the same. So the strength behind it, I would argue, and what you see nowadays with love marriages and the divorce rates is a joke.
It's also about 50, I've heard 50% somewhere.
Yeah, it probably is.
From Asian marriages these days.
It probably is. So I guess the defence is that actually arranged marriage works versus
love
marriage.
Well, it took our parents probably 5 years to get to know each other.
Just shake hands.
You're in, that's it.
That's true, yeah.
Terrible. How do they know? Just pictures, right, probably?
Not even.
Really?
It wasn't even a picture. But I'll tell you a story. So my dad's got another brother. And what they call gurus, so they've got a priest equivalent that they believe and they follow. and then this priest will have other people that follow them. Mm-hmm. And my mum's side of the family was looking for someone, a suitable boy, and the priest said that we know someone that's decent. You two should get married. So they got married on the basis that it was recommended by a random guy, but quite considerable to them. And they took it from them. Even more so, my uncle got married on the basis of a photo, but it wasn't the photo of my uncle, it was the photo of my dad.
What?
No.
So my dad was married, and his photo was provided to say that this is the guy you're going to be marrying. And it wasn't actually my dad, obviously.
So what happened on the day?
Well, that was it, and then they got married. It's like, what the hell happened here? Got the wrong brother.
That is hilarious.
That's a mess.
My one was, they saw photos, they exchanged photos, and I think my dad, like, didn't want to know for ages. He was like, nah, don't want to know. Because what happened is, I think my granddad sent a picture over, and then my dad didn't send a picture back. So just one way. And then obviously they finally got married. Were your parents both in India?
Yeah.
Yours?
My mum had already moved there.
Right.
She'd gone back and then she got married.
So your dad was from India?
Yeah.
My dad was here and then married. My mum got married and came over. But arranged marriages these days, I think kids are more stubborn.
Well,
because I reckon they probably obviously know more. They feel like they know more, right? Because of what they're exposed to.
Yeah.
Because if you're being told what to do, you know, you should meet this person. A lot of people go the opposite way from it. I know I did. When that conversation started getting pushed on me, I was like 24. I didn't want to know. You couldn't tell me anything at that point. I did not want to know.
I mean, I never had the conversation at all, ever, period. I think it was always a case of, when you're going to get married? Around 28. Okay, cool.
That's a good family.
And I the conversation was never pushed on me. I was blessed. And obviously, you know, I found the wife, or now wife. And it was a love marriage, which is fine, all and good. But I think you boys have had different experiences where you've done dating sites and you've I think nowadays it's become a bit more, it's okay to have someone recommend someone else, because in effect that still becomes an arranged marriage, but you're almost a 0.5. It's not a full arranged marriage because you're getting to meet someone.
Yeah, it's kind of like the modern day equivalent of arranged marriage, because it's not some random person recommending you this life partner, it's someone you know, so you kind of think that, okay, maybe they're taking your personality into consideration before they're trying to introduce you to someone.
It's not much different to that priest though, is it? In effect, to what my mum and dad
probably not,
because that's someone else that knows his own traits.
But for the words arranged marriage, the priest is different, because for us it's probably an introduction, because there is no commitment to marriage at this point. If they go, here's a person, by the way, you're marrying this person in like a year's time, then it's I reckon a completely different story. These days it's just introductions,
yeah.
And I don't mind it too much,
but
as long as you're giving a bit of information.
The way I see it is like. Before, my situation with my wife, we got to know each other behind the parents' backs. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't bring it out forward too soon because of the Asian, as you know, Asian backgrounds.
Mm.
And then we grew to know each other, and then like obviously you form a relationship. Then you love each other. And you say, I want to marry you, so on and so forth. That's the story goes. Whereas when you're almost being introduced to someone, how quickly can you fall in love before you say I'm going to marry you? Like, so I guess my point was, I went from 1 to 5 years before we then say we're getting married.
Mm.
So I was fortunate enough, I married at a young enough age, and life hasn't caught up with me at that point. I can still stick to my 28 years old, I want to get married. So I'm blessed, I get that. And it's not everyday picture that an Asian man, boy, or girl can actually do that. Mm. And I think it's quite fortunate, so that's fine. But how do you get introduced to someone that says, cool, I like you, you like me, I can potentially see a future with us, shall we get married?
I think it comes down to where two individuals are in their life. You know, and what their connection is like, because, you know, I've had cousins who've been introduced to their partners 6 months down the line, they're ready to get married, but then I've seen it go happen like 3-4 years at a time, and it just fizzles out after that. So it all kind of depends where you are in your life at that point when you do get an introduction.
Yeah. So are you saying that you're almost hoping to fall in love after marriage? Because you're at that point in your life that says, I know I'm at like close to the age or a little bit past the age, whatever it is that I want to be married at. You are too, so we're in agreement, we're in that bubble. We will probably fall in love, but we both know we want to get married. Unless you've got that straight click that says we're in love.
I think it goes further to what you were saying, where you are in your lives. Because if you know you're kind of set, ready to get married,
yeah,
you're both in a common understanding of what you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, you're looking at the right morals and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, the background.
And the attraction and all of that. And I think marriage is on the back burner, it's in the back of your mind. So you're looking to forge that relationship to then say, you know what, we're probably going to get married.
Fine.
So for us anyway, you go into meeting new people with marriage on your mind.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure you forge the right relationship first.
So like common denominators.
Yes.
You know, similar sort of traits that says actually, I like that trait in you. Everything about you ticks my box. I'm happy to marry you.
Yeah.
And then once you're married, then you've got that chance. Well, you're married, you're happy, you're in that box. And then you probably have the further 6 months, which is actually you fall further in love, maybe, because then you've got that length of time together. It's interesting, isn't it, I guess, thinking about it, because we are, you know, our background is accustomed to that still, where we do get introduced to people and expect to just click and get married. And I've seen people click and get married in the space of like 2 months.
It can happen. Like, so.
But then for me, that point of saying you've just been introduced. Now, I don't live in your life. I don't know how much you talk, how much you meet. But what you're saying is you met within 2 months. You're saying I'm marrying this girl and we're about to get engaged. And you think, for me, that's like mental.
That is mental.
How can you say, like I said, yeah, I've had 5 years. We were together 5 years. Yeah, we didn't. We probably said within the first year, 18 months, that we're going to marry each other. That's why we went for the length of time of 5 years. But to say that you've met someone, third person introduction, and then you're going to marry him, or you're saying that I will marry you, I just find that.
I think it's probably a bit of pressure in the background, right?
Yeah.
From people, because you've got a lot of people looking in from the outside in, and there's probably a pressure where you get introduced to someone, and then you have a few dates or whatever it is, and then it's not her or him asking how it's going, it's the parents or the person who's introducing, how's it really going. There's a little bit of weight and a little bit of pressure on you there, and you kind of think, what's the advance to do or give at this point? Because you're right, 2 months is nothing. 2 months is absolutely nothing. How long's the probation period at work?
That's
6 months, isn't it? To really figure out if you're the right candidate or whatever. 2 months is nothing. And if people are going, you know what, I want to get married after 2 months, good luck to you, because you know, a year down the line you're going to figure something out about this person that you should have figured out in that year anyway.
Yeah.
That you don't want to know. So I don't know. I mean, I've had certain experiences where, like, in my early 20s, I was completely against online dating.
Yeah.
But I've met my wife through online dating, right? Completely happy. I couldn't be happier. I think it's the way you go about it yourself. If you're open to these introductions, go for it. But you need to be open about it. You can't be just, you know, half-hearted or cold-shouldered. Mm. I think you need to actually go for it.
Embrace it.
I mean, I've gone through stuff where you get introduced and I'm just not on it. Or you go for a date or whatever, and it doesn't work out.
No click.
But then you do click with someone like online, like I did with my missus, and it just worked out. And after 18 months or so, you know, we just got married and that was it. Happier now than ever. So, I don't know, arranged marriage as well. I mean, what do you think?
I've got no real opinion about arranged marriage because I've seen it work for other people and I've seen it not work for people as well. I mean, I think we're lucky where we are right now that we have an option. Probably in our parents' generation, the arranged marriage first went to their parents rather than directly to them. So it's kind of like, you know, your mum's parents probably kind of like, this is the boy.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
You know, was it, yes or no, or like you're getting married to him, you know.
There's no real choice, is there?
You know, back then it worked out. Right now, yeah, we're lucky because it's a modern environment in the Asian community where we have that option to say no. It's, you know, yes, no, maybe.
No's never easy though, is it?
No, and actually you're right, because I had to go through that quite recently. I had to say no, and I was like, and I found it really difficult.
Yeah, because you've got your parents talking to these different people. And they've come to you and said, I trust these people.
Yeah.
And you want to think, you know what, I don't want to betray trust. But at the same time, you don't want to betray yourself because you know it's not working out. So you're thinking, why am I longing this out? but at the same time you don't want to, you know, create a rift between the introducers and your family. So it's not easy these days either, I think.
I think we're more equipped in today's day and age to kind of dig deeper into someone. So when you get introduced to someone, back in the day it would have been here's a picture, or here's a face to face, have a half an hour conversation, now you're going to get married. Did you smile when he spoke to you? In that
if you smiled,
good. Whereas now, you meet someone, say, fine, here's a name, here's the background, go and crack on. You meet, you go on LinkedIn, you go on Facebook, 100%. You go on Instagram, yes, you can get their background.
You're doing your stalking.
And all of a sudden, you can probably make a decision a lot sooner time than you probably realise.
Because
you get their history, you understand what they're about, you can kind of paint a picture if they're a good person, if they're not, if they're a party animal and you're not a party animal, what are you going to really click, you know, so on and so forth. So I think we have got better, I guess, tools to deal with some of that now than we ever have done. Definitely the case.
This is I want to start with you being obviously an Arsenal fan. Give me your assessment so far. So there's a few Arsenal game going on in the background, and it is 1-1 in the Europa League, by the way.
Against
anyway, who knows? What, before, what is the Europa League theme music? Does anyone know?
No. Dun, 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 dun. That's what it is. Anything that goes low. That's what it is.
Fucking shit.
And to be fair, that's on Channel 4. You'd be lucky to be on Channel 4.
That's not on Channel 4. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. That's primetime TV. You guys are on the red button. Oh, listen.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
In general, you boys have had a few ups and downs in the last
more
couple
downs
of weeks.
Than ups.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, the Granit Xhaka situation, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, being the Arsenal fan?
I think, look, we've settled for a player that we shouldn't have.
45 million.
Yeah, I know. I know. Look,
how much was it? 45 million, it was.
We settled for a player that we probably shouldn't have accepted. He hasn't had a decent game for us that I can remember for a long time. He's prone to errors. Like no tomorrow, he gives away silly free kicks that we then concede from because we can't defend, and then we give the guy the captaincy,
right?
Which is mental because this guy's full of mistakes. He's a hothead, so I get the hothead bit around captaincy and leadership. I understand that because Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira, all the best of captains have been hotheads because they've got passion.
But good leaders.
I think this guy has got a hot head, but he can't lead a team. He can't lead a team. And it, yes, look, they're full of passion, they're frustrated. And when you get booed by your own fans, it's not what you want. If I walked into my profession and my colleagues or, you know, the people that work for me start booing me, I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
But not the reaction he gave though, right? Ripping his shirt off. You'd be egging them on.
Yeah,
go on, do it louder.
Yeah, I went
until the fuck off at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean that exactly. So for me, should he be stripped of his captaincy right now? Yes,
and he has, right?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. And Aubameyang's been given it, which, in all fairness, with his experience that he's got, the clubs he's played for, international as well, he should have been the captain from the start.
But he's a striker. I don't know how many strikers become captains. I think he should be someone in the middle of the park.
Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer's
Harry Kane. Thierry Henry.
But are they good captains though?
Of course.
They're good players.
Henry captained Arsenal to the Champions League final.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I think they are because they've got a lead from the front. People are going to see him tracking back, see him building play, scoring goals, leading the way. I think Aubameyang, we just draw 1-1. They're just fucking shit. Who the hell is this team? Just Portuguese B-Tech team. And back to the point of Xhaka, it was just the wrong person. I think it was the wrong person for the captaincy, which put more pressure on him further, which as a captain will highlight your weaknesses because you've got the spotlight on you more. So if you're already carrying weaknesses in your game and you've got the spotlight on you, they're going to be highlighted even more. He's had a bad game, he's been booed off, he swore, and now he probably isn't going to get a game for Arsenal for a good 10 games until we go on a bit of a run, if we do go on a run, or where we're going to win.
And this is all in the, you know, you're drawing games, you're losing games. Yeah. The manager's got a lot of pressure on him.
Massive pressure.
Got to go, isn't he?
Well, the thing is, it comes out, you know, choosing a captain. As a manager, you come into a club, you choose the captain. Mm. You don't say, all right, players, have a vote, choose your captain. The players chose Xhaka. It wasn't the manager.
I don't get that bit either. I mean, what we don't understand is what goes on behind the scenes, but
yeah,
I don't see him as a popular character on the pitch.
But he might be a popular character in the dressing room.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, out of the current Arsenal squad, he's probably been in the longest. Apart from Bellerin, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it is a fresher squad.
Yeah.
Has he been there the longest? I don't know, but...
I mean,
he's got experience behind his age, is more the point, probably. He's got age and experience behind
him. He is captain of Switzerland.
Is he really?
Yeah. So, obviously...
I don't know how many championships they're winning.
But yeah, again, not the best team in the world, but he's obviously captain of his country, so he's got that...
Is that because he's an Arsenal player? And he plays in the most high-profile league, and you know what, give him the captaincy.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, but then that's more reason why they've probably given the captaincy at Arsenal. It's all interlinked, isn't it? Actually, you're the captain of your country.
Maybe.
You're the captain of Arsenal. But yeah, look, we're in a problem. We're in a problem. We're in a place where Liverpool probably was about six seasons ago, seven seasons ago.
So it's the right... you need to get the right resources in, right?
Right,
so
manager.
At this point...
We need the right manager. The manager's
does
the
Emery,
right.
Does Emery go?
Yeah.
Next game, he needs to go. Look, straight
he's
away.
He's playing Leicester.
Tough game.
In today's day and age, the Wengers and the Alex Fergusons have gone to the world. No one's going to get that length of time in a club again, ever. We won't see that in football anymore. You just won't see it.
Pochettino's on six seasons. When that is remarkable, to be honest.
Yeah, but he's probably...
Has he been six already?
Six seasons, that's been.
At Spurs?
Yeah.
But if you look at their latest runs, okay, they've won their last game. I think they drew their last game, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I guess my point is, Pochettino is probably the last of that era that's going to get any length of time.
Potentially, yeah.
You know, look at Mourinho. He's come into Man United, and he got a three-year deal or five-year deal. Moyes got a five-year deal, didn't he?
Moyes
got the five-year deal.
They probably just paid that off, right?
Yeah, just paid it off this year or last year, yeah. And then Mourinho got a deal, and they got rid of them both because they weren't good enough. Now, Mourinho's debatable because Mourinho's just a character in himself, isn't he? So, you know, it's hard to talk about him and a club. But
next Arsenal manager?
Look, at this point in time, I'd probably take him. I want to get someone established in. Someone that will shake it up a little bit, not be afraid to go against the norm.
Is he playing the right football though? What do you think?
Mourinho,
Mourinho. So he goes into teams and he almost makes them defensive minded.
Well, I guess that's probably a good thing for Arsenal right now. Mm.
It would be, I suppose so.
Because defensively, absolutely shocking.
But
if it's now Mourinho, he'll put someone like Lacazette in centre back. So, this is the point.
I don't think you'll go that far.
Well,
but you know, it's a squad that's going to need some money to invest into.
How much can we say that they've just bought Pepe?
Okay, but that's attacking investment. You need defensive investment. You bought David Luiz. Let's be honest, he wasn't
33 years old, isn't he? Something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't great at Chelsea. It wasn't great at PSG. Got whacked 7-2 by Brazil.
He's got an error in him. We need the reality is we are not going to secure a Van Dijk. We are not going to secure a Varane. We are not going to secure those sort of pedigree players. We're not in the Champions League. What we need is a manager that can probably get a player in, rather than the status of the club. The status of the club right now is still a very good club to play for. So on points, they're still mid table. Or just above mid-table, but the history of the club still will entice people in. Tie that in with a solid manager, and you might still get a top-quality defender if you show prospects of getting into the Champions League. But the fact that we signed Tierney, yeah, he's gone from Celtic and at Arsenal at the minute, he looks pretty, run-of-the-mill, he's one of the same. But under the right leadership and some better players around, I'm sure he'll get better.
Because Tierney is... left-back at Celtic, but he's probably the equivalent of what called Andrew Robertson at Liverpool. He's probably got that potential to be...
He's got the potential, but at Celtic he was bossing it. Yeah. He's come over to Arsenal and...
But he's gone from champions to someone...
BTEC.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's got the players around him to develop. This is my point.
Yeah.
Are they playing the right football? Have you got the right leaders? Have you got the right attacking prowess in that team for him to start pushing up?
We've definitely got the right attacking prowess. That's not a question.
But they're always taking in wherever they want to.
No, absolutely not. The top three, four players, our attacking players, do play well together. Mm. Ozil needs to get back into games. He's come back recently and he's really played well. Yeah. So we need to get him back in the game. I don't know what his beef with Emery is, but I think if we lose on Saturday, I think we're playing Saturday. If we lose on Saturday, I think there's going to be a big question mark. I watched his interview today, and it's literally three-word answers, and that's not because his English is shit. That was just three-word answers. He was not comfortable on the mic today.
So Saturday rolls around.
We lose.
And you win.
Right.
Top four is on the cards.
Right.
You lose, top four's gone.
It's a long season. I mean, top four goes, Emery goes, we might get another manager in, and then all of a sudden we might look more favourable. It all depends on who we get next in. But I think the rate we change managers at, you've got to take a risk. You've got to make some changes and get someone else in. I mean, how many managers did Liverpool go through before they got Klopp?
So after Benitez, we had Roy Hodgson, Kenny,
yeah,
and Brendan Rodgers.
And after Rodgers, it was Klopp.
Yeah.
And now Klopp's probably the only one that's cement. I mean, I think Rodgers did bits.
He had
the Slippy G season, didn't he?
But I wouldn't say it's because of him. I'd say that was
the players.
That was Suarez that season. That was he was carrying the team. Yeah. Slippy G was on his last legs.
Yeah,
the coming team towards the end of his career, he probably wasn't doing as much. That was kind of when Sterling kind of burst onto the scene as well.
Yeah,
so that helped.
So I think Brendan Rodgers, Taylor, and then you got Klopp, and now you're doing bits. You're arguably the best team in the world, or one of the top three teams in the world right now at club football level.
I'd say so. I mean, just on that then, is the big game this season, isn't it?
This weekend.
It's Man City versus Liverpool. Who's home?
Liverpool's
at home. How are you seeing your chances in that?
I'm not too excited because I don't think Liverpool are playing really well.
I think you've got away with you. I mean, you had the Sheffield United where you pulled it out of the bag. Was that 1-0, right?
1-0, yeah.
You had the penalty at Leicester. That Leicester, that's always worth 6 points, that is, because the way Leicester are playing, that's worth 6 points.
Yeah.
Villa almost had it.
Yeah.
But then, Liverpool got the 2-1. I think you're running out of luck.
Yeah, it's just...
Is it luck?
And through it, we're kind of relying on, because Salah's not playing that well at the moment.
Yeah.
Firmino's, he's not the goal scorer anyway. He's just there for link up play. So you're relying a lot on Sadio Mane to give you the goals, and there's only so much he can do.
As he's not a striker.
Yeah. Wouldn't even Salah.
Just the beast. Oh.
I guess it's not about luck. I don't think it's luck. I don't think they're running out of luck. I think. That's like saying, was Arsenal's invincible season all based on luck? It's not. It's what champions do.
You grit through it,
you plough down, and you fight, and you don't give up, and you get the goals.
I mean,
I don't think it's luck. I think that's right now, they probably feel
you're probably right. Invincible.
They feel.
So like for the Villa game, they had like 73% possession. I think it was 25 shots or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So they're creating, they're just not converting, isn't it? Mm. Once they start converting...
And they also had that goal disallowed, which is controversial because of the whole VAR thing.
VAR has been on them this year.
VAR has been on everyone.
United game, obviously that game in the weekend. It's not been Liverpool's best friend, is it?
No, it's all kind of related to... It's all what you hear in the tabloids and newspapers. Like, it's that one referee that's causing issues for Liverpool, Martin Atkinson.
Stevie Wonder. I just can't fucking see anything.
Yeah. But... You look at that goal, Firmino.
I didn't see it.
Right? And the only part of Firmino that was offside was his arm.
Oh, this is the armpit bit, right?
Yeah. Right? So, I looked it up on the FA website.
It meant that much to you.
I thought we'd end up discussing it. Is the offside rule says if it, the only time you can be offside is if a goal scoring part of your body.
Yeah, playable part.
Is
the shoulder?
Huh?
Is the shoulder? Are you the shoulder?
No, it actually specifically says your arm is not counted as part of that.
Yeah, but your shoulder. You can shoulder it. Like, if a ball hits your head, it's not a handball.
Yeah.
So you can
The VAR also, if the ball hits your arm in the process of scoring a goal, it doesn't count.
Yeah, but that hasn't hit his arm, has it? Is his shoulder in line? Or is it? I don't know what line it was. Where does the line go? Elbow?
It's literally like armpit.
So that's.
I'd say
shoulder.
I think it should have been a goal. It should have stood as a goal, right? But. I don't know.
So imagine if you actually signed a out-and-out striker. You'd be unstoppable. You'd have to probably get rid of Firmino.
Yeah. Well, he could drop back into midfield, play that.
He's not a midfielder though.
But he plays that attacking mid role.
I think he should play a striker's role. But they don't play him as striker. They play him as a false nine almost.
He is a
false
nine.
If you sign, I mean, there's a lot of talk right now of Mbappe.
Oui. Woo.
Yeah.
Boner away.
That Mbappe talk. I don't know where it's coming from because.
Well, look, you're one of the best teams, if you win the league this year.
He's coming. He.
You won the Champions League last year. If you win the Premiership this year, would you not say you are.
Salivating.
Are you not the best team in the world right now at club football? I'd say you probably are.
Probably.
So where else is he going to go? But if he's not going to go Real Madrid, he's got to come to you.
He's going there for the money, isn't he?
Real Madrid haven't got a manager. Zidane's there, but he's not going to be. He's like on his second run.
Next manager, Klopp.
It don't look great. Klopp's going to take a sabbatical. He's going to be out.
Yeah. Well, they were considering Poch a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah,
Real Madrid. I mean, everyone, well, Man United, they're all considering him. But I guess my point is, Mbappe, as much of it's rumours, I think there is. Why would he not?
Look, if he came, I'd be happy.
You'd come. I saw a video from the other day, right? I don't know if you've seen his clip. It's going around on Instagram. He's chasing the ball, slides in so it doesn't go off, stands back up, roasts a player, gets into the penalty area, and gets tripped up for a penalty. He just looked formidable. Like the pace, the power. He's definitely the next one. Ronaldo, Messi gone. He's that next guy.
Of course he is.
100%.
He's going to break. He'll break the goal scoring record.
Just a beast. Yeah. I mean, he has pace to burn.
How old is he?
Other than 19, 20.
I think he's the same age as Rashford.
You look 21.
Something similar to that. Mm. And you think Rashford had a lot of potential. He's paid a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Where's his potential gone? It's not the age, because look at Mbappe.
It's the manager. The manager, I'm telling you now, the manager gets the best out of their players.
The thing is, Mbappe comes, but he also plays out wide. He doesn't play central.
No, but you could. He does play left, doesn't he? Left or right, doesn't matter. Yeah. But you could play in central.
You could play in central. Imagine I think you'd probably get the best out of him when he's on that wing, where Salah and Mane play.
For France, where does he play, though? He plays more central.
No,
just do what you like, son. Give the ball to Will.
But then if you have got a left and right winger, guaranteed, when your wing backs are lying, they're fucking more or less winners anyway. Yeah. So I'm thinking, bottom line is you're getting Mbappe, that's it. I think you lot just destroy it. But Salah will freeze up, he'll slow down.
Yeah.
He already has started. I think he needs to sell in soon.
I think.
To Arsenal, I saw Arsenal, we won him. You take him with one leg.
I think he needs to go soon. I can see a decline.
Yeah, he's
just having one average season.
No, I can see it. No, even the tail end of last season, I think. So, you know, since when? I think that injury in the final.
With the arm?
Yeah.
It's what, Real Madrid?
Even last season. Was last season still a good season?
He was top scorer in the league.
No, with Aubameyang. And Aubameyang.
With not signing, Mane.
And Aubameyang.
All right, but Aubameyang got you fifth place or whatever.
Doesn't matter.
They get the Champions League.
Well, you've got two Liverpool top goal scorers in there. So I'd expect Liverpool to be doing bits if they've got two top goal scorers.
They are doing bits.
But yeah, back to the point. I'll take Mourinho. Yeah, when does he want to come?
It's a hypothetical. Stan Kroenke is taking advice from you. Never going to happen, but just, you know, he is. He says to you.
It's more like Josh, his son's going to take advice, because Stan's not in the scene.
You kidnapped his son or something?
No, his son's on the scene more than he is. Really. Yeah,
he's approached you for advice. He goes, I've got money. I can get you either a replacement manager and two players, or you keep the current manager and get you three players. What option would you go for, and what would you choose?
I can tell you now, you're just going to buy attacking players. That's what he's going to fucking do, isn't he? I'll just buy him four attackers, sell my defenders, because I love attackers.
I would change the manager and get two. I'll change the manager and I'd get two centre backs.
Okay. Name.
The centre backs. Well, endless amount.
Who do you think?
Anyone.
Basically, you have to be realistic.
Well, I don't know. Be realistic. You've got fucking fifth place. You're going to get no one, are you? No one that's going to be good enough.
No, there's a pretty decent centre backs that you could probably pick out from like the Spanish leagues. Or
Championship.
What, for Villa?
Listen, Villa doing bits.
Mings is getting points on fantasy football.
Mings is a player.
I don't know. I think I'd have to think about it. You kind of put me in the spot here. I haven't got one on the top of my head, because I've got no hope that we're going to sign a defender, so therefore I'll stop looking at potential buyers that Arsenal might have, because we're never going to buy one. We're going to just try and get people from within and keep using left off, sort of Chelsea and the likes, essentially.
You boys still play the lottery?
Yeah.
You still do it?
Yeah.
You do it every week?
No.
How often do you do it? What do you do? EuroMillions?
Yeah, well, I'm doing it tonight, so... You know,
what's EuroMillions?
89 million?
That's enough. That's enough.
89 million. That's a madness.
Let's get... Should we say 89? What are you going to do with 89 M's? Tell me.
Fucking hell. Let's 89 million. I'm going mad.
You're going off the grid, though.
I'm going mad. As in, I'm not telling anyone I want it. I've got the thing in my head. I win the lottery. I just act normal for like...
I think you have to.
3-4 days. No, I'm not telling the wife nothing.
You got to live in hotels, though.
No, you don't
stay here.
No, I'd live here. I'd live in my house. I'd live a normal life for about 5 days. 5 days to a week. Once the money hits...
That's not long enough.
Yeah, until the money hits my account.
Yeah.
Once the money's in the account, I'm calling like a family meeting. I don't care what you're doing. I'm calling it on like a Saturday or a Friday. I don't care what day it is.
I'm family,
okay,
by the way.
Yeah. I'm calling a family meeting where everyone's... I don't care what you do, you come. I'll make it... I don't tell them on the phone, though. You're going to come to the house and... I'll say we won the lottery. Gun fingers. And then... That's it.
You're out.
As in, I'm not out. No. I say we won it. It's in the bank account. And then we'll just have a really good evening of just dreaming. And I wake up the next day realising I've won nothing and I'm a dream.
So forget 89 million then. Let's cut that down to something more realistic, potentially.
Well, realistic is 89 million if it's a playful snipe.
But let's say 5 million. Now, what are you doing with 5 million?
Because
5 million is a lot of money.
Of course it is.
But also, it probably isn't a lot of money when you have 5 million. You think, you know what, it's time to spend it a little bit. You're cutting it down. So what are you doing with 5 million?
So it's saying, actually, I spoke to you about a few weeks ago.
Do we?
You don't even know what day it is. What are you talking about?
We're basically saying, how much money would it take for you to stop working?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I said 5 million as well.
Yeah. So you
5 million is a number.
Okay, so 5 million, you stop working.
Bang.
Well, I said 10.
I think 5 million.
But you got 5 million, you take that, pay off any debts, your immediate family, pay off all the debts, right? Buy a couple of yards, stick more rent, that's income coming in, right?
Just that's the Indian mentality
I think that's probably the smartest thing you'd ever do.
Potentially, yeah.
Right? Property is always the way forward. Everyone's going to need some sort of accommodation, especially if you're looking around maybe London. Someone's always going to take something on rent over there.
Yeah.
It costs so much money up there.
Yeah,
but if you buy
a flat's 500 grand out there.
Yeah, you buy two flats, that's income, isn't it?
You're
buying them cash.
You're getting 2-3 grand a month surplus. But you get the same on interest.
You don't get 2-3 grand.
On interest?
Interest maybe.
On like 3 million?
You'll get 1.5% top back interest.
Mate, I don't care about the interest, I've got 5 million.
So buy yourself a fat yard or something. So you're probably after doing one.
How much is the fat yard?
Probably like 1 million.
Right. So you've got 2 million gone already.
Yeah. What's the first million gone on?
His investments in his houses.
So he's got 2 500 grand houses or flats gone.
Yeah.
1 million done.
Yeah.
1 million on a house.
Yeah.
3 million.
3 million left. That's Gavin's interest.
Nah.
So you're living in this house. But then what? Are you spending little bits and bobs in? There's people spending the interest. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, because if you think about 1.5% of 3 million, what is that?
Fuck no, it's not
massive.
Yeah, that is 45 grand a month.
Well, that's quick maths,
yeah.
Well, 1 million. Is that right?
Is that your calculator out?
Right, no, 1 million, 1.5% of 1 million is 15 grand. You've got 3, that's 45. If you buy an account that pays monthly interest,
5 grand.
What are you doing? We shouldn't even give you a calculator. That's what you need to do. Jesus Christ. That was terrible. Comes out of 5 grand. You know what? Just remind me, you're not my accountant, yeah?
Oh,
right,
look, man.
Right, you take 1 million, right?
Yeah.
What's 10% of 1 million?
100 grand?
What's 10% of that, which would be 1% of 1 million?
1 grand? Is that right?
No.
Right. I need to cut this bit out. You put this on hot.
Shit.
I'm hot.
Oh shit!
Right. Okay.
I use computers. Yeah.
Alright. So, 10% of 1 million is 100 grand.
Don't ask me these questions. Just answer them yourself. Carry on.
Right. I was wrong with doing that. Right.
5 grand. Go on.
Right. And 10% of that 10%, which is 1% of the original 100.
Dumb. Are we in the Matrix right now? Where are we? This is a black hole.
It's 10 grand, right?
I take your word for
15 grand is 1.5% of a million.
Yeah. So
3 million is 45 grand. Maths.
He did that. No, you did slow maths. He did the quick maths.
Right. So you try and 45 grand a month.
That's a lot of money.
You're living comfortably.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right. But I'm still buying bear whips. I'm going to have so many cars. I'm going to run out of money. That 5 million is not going to go far enough.
And then what happens?
I'm done.
And then you're going to be like, you know what? I'm going to kill myself because I want to live that life.
I think
I can't even afford to put the petrol in my car.
No, not even. Not even. Look, you've got to be sensible. You're probably right around the houses. You probably, I wouldn't buy them in London. I'd probably just buy them anywhere that's going to give me like 3 or 4 for the same amount of money that I can stick on rent. Buy a house, 1 million a year, and then you've got 3 million left, and there is an interest bit there. Then you've got to think about family. If you've only got 5 million, how much are you dishing out to your family before you say, I need to keep some of this and I need to keep working? So the reality is 5 million is not, it's going to be more than enough to get you out of work, but then by the time you divvy it down, you're going to have to keep yourself busy with an income somewhere.
You know what I reckon you do? I reckon you set up a business.
Chicken shop,
whatever it is, you set up a business, right? And the interest you earn is your sales. And you pay your staff, who your family, a wage.
See, I always said this, and I mentioned this to you before. We often have lottery conversations.
It never goes anywhere. Why haven't we won the lottery at the moment?
Because we're dreamers, and dreamers don't
need
lottery.
To play it as well.
Well, yeah. But I said this: if I won a good amount of money, say 5 million, your 5 million is 5 million. Say I won 10 million, 10-15 million. I would probably do something similar to what you've just described, where if I gave all the money away, I wouldn't have enough to say I've won the lottery because the money's gone, right? Mm-hmm. You've spent it on yourself a little bit, you've lived life, you want to enjoy life, you've given a bit out, and then all of a sudden you look around and you think, shit, I've got no money left. You almost want to, whatever your friends, because you want to then enjoy life with friends, right?
Mm.
So if you've given your money out to family, you're not putting much left with your friends, but if you're a bit more clever about it, I said this to you before, and I don't think you like the idea of it, but I said I would probably, whatever salary you get that you're currently on, I would say I'd pay your salary and an extra 15 grand. I don't know what that would look like.
Mm.
But then you would essentially just enjoy life with me.
Yeah.
So we'd go on parties, a bit of an entourage, we'd have some mad whips, we'd go out on cruises, chilling out, go shopping.
I always like, you're picking the bill up, that's what I'll be saying.
Yeah, but I've just, you're getting a salary to do nothing. All you've got to wait for is a phone call that says, let's go.
Do you know what? Anything, if you get a handout from someone who's won the lottery,
yeah,
then like you shouldn't be in a position to say, oh, it's not good enough.
Yeah, you take what you get.
The salary plus 15K is probably pretty good.
Well, you just got your salary, so you're happy to be on what you're on now, and I've given you an extra 15K on top of that. That's like, and you haven't then got to work either.
So you haven't got the 5 days. How long are you paying that for before, like, bruv? You're a bit of an anchor to me now. I'm paying you a lot of money here.
Well, remember, 45 grand, my boy's just worked out as my month's interest. I've paid you your... Well, that's, my that's month's true. Interest has paid you for your
whole year. I'll be asking for a raise. For a raise.
Yeah, I'll be saying, what do you want a raise for? I've paid you your whole salary, your whole year's salary and more for doing nothing, for linking up two or three times a week. Probably be linking up more than that.
Yeah, I hope so. You got all the money, mate.
But the point is, you would then do something. So if I was giving you 65-70 grand a year, you'd be doing something with that. That then says you're investing, you're doing your own bits.
Probably.
With 70 grand. If you're not working, you haven't got bills to pay.
I'm paying tax though.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we can work way around that.
You wouldn't pay tax on that.
You would.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
How much is a gift is tax free?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person here, son.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I would do. So what would you do with your 5 million?
I don't know. I would probably try and invest it, but at the same time, the house that you buy is almost your investment as well.
Yeah, that's dead investment because you're living in it. You never see that return unless
potentially
you're selling it.
Well, you might sell it though. You might sell it.
If it comes a day where you're selling it and you're downgrading, you know you fucked up.
Well, probably, but I probably would buy houses just because you've got your money tied up in something that may not depreciate massively.
A pillar.
I'd go stupid. I'd go holidays. I buy bloody expensive sweets.
Holidays ain't a thing. It wouldn't be a thing for me.
There's holidays, and then there's flipping, you know, millionaire holidays, which you don't even got a clue about, obviously. So it's different, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it's that. True. Yeah, like private islands and stuff like
all
that.
All this sort of shit.
Yeah, but your money's spunked, gone, done, isn't
it? Yeah, but you just won it.
5 million, though.
You've got to do a little bit of that. You can't just be driving around in a car.
Do you know what the reality is? We've all got our own opinion, right? We've all got our own twist on what we'd do. Some of it's similar, some of it's not. But the reality is we will never see 5 million. We'll be lucky if we see that 1.5 million in our lifetime.
Over work?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not going to see that all at once anyway. What are you depressing me out for?
I want to live that lifestyle.
I don't want to live that
lifestyle. I dream about that lifestyle every time before I go to sleep. Every night.
Slightly all, yeah, it's a addendum to that, but if you won the lottery,
yeah,
you actually stay in this country.
Yes, I'm staying in my hometown.
You're getting juxed up, boy.
Not even.
All of a sudden, your boy, who's had nice cars in the past, fair enough, but he's now running around in Ferraris. What's he on?
There's people in our hometown that are running around in Ferraris, Aston Martin, Lamborghinis.
Yeah, and those boys are,
drug dealers.
Drug dealers. So they're going to want to know what you've got. And if you haven't got drugs, then they're going to know what you've got.
I got the money, cash money.
I don't know if I'd stay. I don't know.
I'm staying in my hometown, repping what?
What are you repping here? This is terrible, this place.
Big shoulders. Carry my city on my shoulders, not the city. Carry my town on my shoulders.
Boo!
I'd
be out of it. I don't know where I'd go. I'd go somewhere that's got decent healthcare. All that, maybe Canada.
What, free healthcare? Like the UK?
Yeah, we can't see anyone about anything these days here.
You're
talking about arsehole secretaries.
Private healthcare.
Listen, I'm leaving you here, yeah? You stay here repping your town.
Repping my city.
For the scumbags.
Well, you're one of those scumbags.
You're going to pay me soon, aren't you?
I'm a bloody lorry. What Asians?
As Asians, we grew up with a specific type of parenting. And I don't know about you guys, but I received my fair share of beatings.
They were hard beatings, my son, hard.
Oh, yes.
Listen, go on, show what was your...
Show us the scars.
No physical scars, a lot of mental scars. Mental scars. But do you guys remember any specific ones that still kind of like...
Listen, I get told about one. Every time I meet my cousins, they... will tell this story to other people.
I've got one like that.
So this was summer holidays. My old man watches Formula 1 and he's properly into Formula 1. And back in the day, so he used to go out to work, or I think he was working on the house, so he couldn't watch a specific race, record this race. I'm like, cool, my cousin's around, I forget to record this race, right? We're sitting down. He goes, did you record the race? And I look at him in utter fear, because I was still scared of my old man. And I went, no. And before I finished the O of the no, he threw a control straight at me, right? My cousins, who were sitting next to me, bolted. They were gone, right? They were gone. He just tore me up, man.
Yeah.
He tore me up, right?
How old was you?
I want to say...
This was last week.
I reckon 10...
Oh, that's nothing.
10, 9, 10. That's nothing.
That's still...
I've got beats, mate. I'll go to another one, but you can go next. But I've got battered. My cousins are still scared of them now.
So, I've got a couple. I tell the story that everyone hears about. And it's constantly reminded because my brother-in-law always talks about it. So, there's a time where we used to have a shop. And we used to have a back room. Back room was like a place where we sat, like a small living room almost, and the main living room was elsewhere in the house, and then you had the shop and the long walkway to the door. So we'd be in the back, and I was a mischievous child, let's say. I was probably about 13, 14 maybe, so a bit older, and I did something and my dad was getting pissed off. He was getting, whatever I was doing, it was just really pissing him off. He's told me no, he's told me stop. I haven't stopped, I carried on. And at this point, he's like lost his shit, and he goes like, "Wait, let me get you." So at this point, I've legged it, thinking, "Nah, he's taken off his slipper," and this guy's thrown it the length of the shop. I'm reaching for the door handle of the front door just to get out before it hits me straight in the back, tar, as I'm reaching for the door handle, I've missed the door handle because he's got me, and I've gone, ah! Aim was lethal.
When did the sandal become the weapon of choice?
Day one.
And it's the rubber one, isn't it? Is the rubber one you're talking about?
No, leather. This thing was like...
Oh, you're old, man. Yeah. Climbing mountains. What's he been doing?
Not the rubber one. Not the rubber one. This is the leather one. It looks like the rubber one, but it's fucking heavy duty.
Apparently, you must have a scar on your back.
Honestly. And then I had also had... beatings was always bad, to the point where, like, if you get it from your dad, it was always the worst. But then when mum gave it, fucking hell, that was bad.
My mum slapped me once and my lips started bleeding. Do you know what I'm saying? Mum was a frail woman. Just that one. You know what it is? You know when they're like kneading the dough, yeah. Right? Their forearms become hinged. It's like next level strength. You try and do it. Like, I can't do this. Like, how are you doing this? Like, I'd batter my mum one time if I had to. I would never do it. But strength wise, I can't knead that dough the way she does it. That's where she's getting her strength from. She slapped me so hard.
It lit started bleeding. So I had this thing where we had a shop and I'd get chased around the shop often. We had a material shop.
Mm.
And you get the hollow roll inside. That was the beating stick as such.
That cardboard.
Yeah, the cardboard that roll. Yeah.
That stung.
And for those that have had a clothing shop, a material shop, you know there's not just one type. There's a very hollow one, which is, that will just break. I could hit you around the head, you wouldn't feel it, that would break. Kind
of similar to like what you get at the end of a toilet roll.
Yeah, absolutely. Out. Even weaker than that. And then there's some, which I kid you not, have got concrete inside of them. Boy.
Hammer and nail in the wall.
Yes, absolutely. Some of them are rock solid, and they hurt. So that was a weapon of choice. And I'd often get chased around. I was quite mischievous, but I'm the youngest child, very spoiled. Playing football was a thing for me. Obviously, as you heard earlier on, I wasn't allowed in the house. I played football in the house, in the shop.
Jesus.
Breaking a lot of things. And I'd get chased around, and I'd run away often and get away with it. But when they lost their shit, they would take me into the toilet.
What are you doing in there?
Shut the door behind them. Boxers down, tar.
Galore. Across the arse.
Yeah, everywhere.
Go for a huge queue in there, you smell that.
Just can't run. You can't run away from it, there's nowhere to hide. You what know,
is this story?
You are getting licks. And that was the worst. That was the worst.
You got to the point spankings,
when,
yeah?
Yeah. To the point, you know when you're crying and you're like, you can't catch your breath, you're like, it was those moments.
That must have sounded horrendous.
It was those moments.
At the outside.
Well, no, everyone knows what's going on. Everyone knows he's getting his beats. And you know what? I don't regret it. As in, I think I've been brought up well for it. You know, a lot of people debate and say, oh, is it right to hit your children and all that? And actually, you know, I think I'm more disciplined for it. I value my parents more for it. I wouldn't... I'd probably do something similar to my kids.
What's worse? Before we get into your story, what's worse? The beating... or knowing you're going to get the beating. You know, that apprehension.
Oh, they're just bad as each other, aren't they?
You know, it's,
you get that look. You get that look from your old man, and you think, oh, shit.
It's just as bad. Yeah. They're bad as each other.
You guys go silent. You think, you know what? I'm trying to behave myself for the next bit. The damage is done, son.
Too late.
The damage is done.
Too late.
Oh, hey. How about you?
So, this is when my sister got really severe beatings. I was probably about maybe 7 or 8. So, my mum just bought this really nice new pair of pink curtains, and you know, proper fancy from back in the day. You only had to pull those strings and they close together themselves rather than you pulling them fancy. So mum's upstairs on the phone to my aunt or something like that, me and my sister downstairs. So we're having a milkshake, strawberry milkshake. These are pink curtains, so I'm drinking through a straw. So alright, let's see if we spit through a straw. Get on the curtain and see if there's a colour difference.
What's going through your head?
Whose idea was that?
It was probably mine.
And you're the older one.
I'm the older one.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Did you fall in your head before you had this conversation? Like, what happened then?
So, so literally, we just take it was a big pint glass. Right? And then
7-year-old with a pint glass of milkshake.
And, that's what the size I am right now. But, me and my sister just like literally pulled it in, from out, just blow through a straw, like, this year we're like 5 minutes curtains, and we could tell like this thing obviously
it's drenched,
so you could tell it's a different shape because
you're 7 years old.
Yeah,
and you have biologic.
So we're absolutely shitting ourselves because I never got to tell mom. So I tell my sister, got to tell mom.
Brave.
Yeah.
She's obviously clueless.
She's clueless because she's like, she'll tell us off and that's it, right? And mom comes downstairs like livid, and she looks at me. She looks at she looks back at my sister. Get a proper tupper like pata, right across the face, and then next thing you know, she's calling dad at work.
Wait, phone calls now. Phone calls are different. Phone calls are different.
So she's like, you better go home or I'm gonna kill your kids.
This is a different level. So it's not like I want you to beat the kids. I'm
warning
you.
Kill them. You need to get home and save them.
So dad gets home and he gives my sister a little slap because
girl,
right? You're not going to say much to her. Me, I get the full force.
Yeah.
I get my dad. You see my dad? Mm. Like his hands are absolutely huge, and they're like rocks hitting your face. And then at one point, he actually picks me up like this, like
wrestling.
What is this?
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I was really skinny.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of just threw me on the sofa.
Right. Lucky you had the padded sofa.
But that was probably the most severe beating I ever got.
I remember one. Me and my brother we wouldn't fight too much, but I'd just be, I'd always be messing around somehow. We had these sofas, so you had the TV at the back of the wall, in the corner of the square of the house, right? And then you have sofas, or like little chairs or whatever, that weren't facing the TV. So I was facing the wall, and I'd have to look to the left, right?
Who's positioning like that? What the hell?
Listen, Indians, yeah? We want to get sofas in.
Hold on a minute.
Who knows who's going to visit, right?
Hold on a minute. So you're sat on a sofa that isn't positioned to face a TV.
Correct.
And it's positioned to face the wall.
It's almost facing the radiator. Just like I'm sitting right now, yeah? And we had these, and they were like square, shaped. So you had the armrest quite high, and my brother climbed up on the armrest.
To face the wall.
So he's facing the TV at this point, right? Yeah. So I'm sitting on an armrest. My ass is in the middle of the chair. My legs are over the other armrest, right? Yeah. He's climbed on top. I've just kicked his legs. I thought, fuck it, I'm going to kick his legs, right? He's come down. As he's coming down, I turn to the old man, and he's already thrown an Argos catalogue at me. He pinged an Argos catalogue off my head, boy. Tell you, that was painful.
Yes, that's the thing though, you know, anything, they just become anything. Like,
they're
become like
ninjas.
Yeah, they become, you're absolutely right, they become like ninjas that like, anything that's in their hand is like, and it's like, it's got you, it's like, how? How's that possible? If you give me a hanger, the hanger, fucking hell.
It's whipping you.
Have you had a hanger?
Yeah, whipping across the back of the legs.
Not
yeah.
even the legs, anywhere mate, legs, that's arm, right. back, face, what? Anywhere. Like, honestly, they become like experts. So just how is that possible? If you give me a hanger right now and say throw it, I'm about to hit shit.
To re-catch yourself.
You know, it must be, yeah, exactly. I think if it hits the floor and hits you back in the face, it must be as you get kids, you just heighten your aiming skills because you just know it's going to come in hand. It must be.
I mean, they being old school, probably from India, probably got beaten as kids from like teachers and stuff.
Yeah, but you wouldn't change it, would you? Would you change it? As in, like,
no. Not for discipline purposes. Because then you. I think it's good to have fear
so
of your parents,
yeah.
Because like, these days,
because fear and respect are one the same.
Get away with murder,
boy. Some of the things I've heard, I'd be like, I'm more scared thinking if I was in that situation, what my old man would do to me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, actually, it wasn't even that long ago. I saw some kid, obviously, my cousin or someone I know, and kids throwing a proper tantrum. And she's probably like 8-9 years old, and she's turned around and called her mum a bitch.
Right.
I would never. And I was just thinking, if I had ever done that, I don't think I'd ever live to see another day.
I reckon I've done things in the last couple of years that my old man thought, you know what, if you were younger, I'd batter you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, standard. 100%.
Now I get away with murder, but I'm 30 years old, I hope I would.
But
I think the last, since I was about 21, 22, I've been probably getting away with a lot more. And my wife looks at me and she goes, how do you get away with stuff that you say? Why do you say it like that? How do you know? And I think it's just, you get that relationship with your parents, don't you? And like you say, you appreciate it more now than you did back then. But fucking hell, they were the worst. Well, they were the worst moments. When, like you know that bit you said, that when you know you're just about to get beats, or you're getting beats, that fear, it feels like a literal shit in your pants. That's what it feels like. It's like, oh, fuck. It's coming.
It's gone too far. You think, oh, you know what? I've done too much here. You know, I've run around Asda too much. And they've looked for me long enough, and it's just 5 minutes too long. It's 5 minutes too long, and now I'm going to get beat. And we just started our shop as well. We just started the shop. You've got to walk around.
It's the look, though. Do you remember the look?
The look, mate. That
stare. It's just like, you're in shop. Shopping was the one, isn't it? Because you're like, mommy, I want that. Can I have that? Yeah. It's just that look that is like that stare. And you think, oh, shit. Just shut up now. Don't ask for anything.
You try and behave, isn't it? You try and behave.
Yeah. Oh, and you're like,
shall I do the trolley? Yeah. Shall I blow up, mate?
Done.
Don't think I forgot that, son.
Yeah. You used to get it. As soon as in the car.
I remember one time, right? I was probably older at this point. I was probably about, I want to say 14. And we used to play out on our road a lot. And I don't even know why I did this. There was a guy who moved into the top of this road. And for whatever reason, we just started playing football on his grass. And he came out and he goes, stop playing football on the grass. I'm like, no, mate. So we kicked the ball against his car.
Well, that's a bit stupid.
He came out. And we just did a runner. We just did a runner, right? Because he was fat and he couldn't get us. Did a runner. And what he did, and which we didn't know until, you know, when I found out, was he knocked on every single door on the road to find
the Asian family.
Yeah, so he let everyone know, though. He let everyone know what was going on.
Oh, so the whole neighbourhood knows that.
The whole neighbourhood knows. And I will put one foot in the door.
Done.
Slap straight away. I go down, right? I go down and I look up the stairs. My mum's there. And I'm thinking, sympathy, yes. Nope. She goes, carry on, right? My man stood on me, yeah? The weight of this man. I don't know if he weighed 25 stone, crushed every bone in my body. And he was laughing as well at one point, because he found the situation funny, that this fat guy came and tells a story about his son or whatever, slapped me, he got a bit of pleasure out of the fact that I knocked the ground, and he stood on me.
Mad.
Crazy.
Good times.
Mad. How long are we recording now?
Should we wrap it up?